Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, January 24th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the NPR newsroom. On today's edition, a housing push at the Capitol and former University of Minnesota President Nils Hasselmo dies. Two bills to discourage drivers from picking up their phones have advanced in the Minnesota Senate. Brian Baxt has more.
Discouraging cell phone use behind the wheel has emerged as a top concern in the legislative session. But how far lawmakers will go to punish the practice is still in question. The Senate Transportation Committee endorsed a bill to make clear that only hands-free phone use is acceptable by motorists. The panel also backed a bill by Republican Senator Dave Osmick that would impose fines up to $500 on repeat offenders and make prison time possible for distracted drivers who cause serious crashes.
Some people are getting 5 days in jail, or maybe a couple of months in jail, for, in essence, destroying another family. And I think it's just deplorable that such light penalties can be given for such important impacts.
Both bills have at least one more committee stop before reaching a possible Senate floor vote. The Minnesota House is also moving quickly on hands-free legislation. Brian Baxt, NPR News at the Capitol.
Speed limits on thousands of miles of two-lane roads outside the Twin Cities will be rising across Minnesota. Tim Nelson has more.
The move comes after the Minnesota Department of Transportation completed a 5-year speed limit study mandated by the legislature in 2014. Sometime this spring, more than 5,200 miles of road will have a new limit of 60 miles per hour out of about 7,000 miles studied. The 55-mile-per-hour limit dates back to 1974, a reaction to the OPEC oil embargo. MnDOT engineering specialist Nathan Drews says the new limit harkens back to the past.
Some of these roads used to be 60 miles an hour during the daytime during peak conditions, so that this is sort of a return to 60 for some of these roads.
The changeover will be gradual, with the speed limit rising only as road signs are replaced. Tim Nelson, NPR News.
Today at the Capitol, legislators will debate what to do with old leaky landfills. Elizabeth Dunbar has that.
The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency looks after 110 decommissioned landfills throughout the state. Some are bigger risks than others. The one that tops the list of risky sites is in Andover, just north of Minneapolis, where more than 6,000 barrels of hazardous waste were dumped back in the early 70s. Now, it costs the state $600,000 a year just to keep the situation from getting worse, says Hans Nave with the MPCA's closed landfill program.
The work that's been done up till now has been to limit previous impacts. We were detecting chemicals from this landfill in the adjacent creek and in the groundwater, both on and off the property. Without the full excavation of this hazardous waste pit, we're on a trajectory to be doing this for a very long time, making very little progress.
The House Environment Committee is considering legislation to contribute an additional $6 million in bonding money to a project that would remove the hazardous waste from the site for good. Elizabeth Dunbar, NPR News.
A $430 million plan to combat housing shortages will compete for a piece of the projected budget surplus as Minnesota lawmakers craft a new state budget this year. The Homes for All coalition of business groups, local housing authorities, and social service organizations outlined its agenda yesterday. Housing Finance and Policy Committee Chairwoman Alice Hausman says the attention to housing issues is long overdue. The St. Paul DFLer says businesses in greater Minnesota are struggling to find employees because those workers can't find an affordable place to live.
We all understand housing has a definite connection to a healthy, competitive economy.
A large share of the spending in the group's plan would come through the state's borrowing authority, but there are also requests for money or tax credits to provide emergency shelters, to assist families in purchasing homes, and to encourage affordable housing construction. Former University of Minnesota President Nils Hasselmo has died. The university said he died yesterday morning at the age of 87. The university experienced major changes under his tenure. Peter Cox has more.
Nils Hasselmo was born in Sweden, but academics drew him to the United States, first as an undergraduate student at Augustana College. He went on to get his Ph.D. in linguistics at Harvard. In 1965, he began teaching Scandinavian language and literature at the University of Minnesota. He left the university briefly for the provost job at the University of Arizona. He returned to Minnesota for the U's top position in 1988. At the time, the U was under scrutiny for financial decisions. Here is Hasselmo on the day he was hired.
This is going to be an open administration. People are going to know exactly what's going on, and if they don't like what's going on, they're going to have an opportunity to tell us so, and we will have to try to explain what it is we are trying to do. I think that's one of the basic goals of my administration.
Former state legislator Roger Moe says he remembers Hasselmo standing out during a public session where several presidential candidates spoke.
After I had listened to the three candidates, I went over to Kurt Carlson and I said, make sure we hire the Swede.
Hasselmo served from 1988 to 1997. He made difficult decisions, including closing the Waseca campus during a budget shortfall. He also proposed closing the General College, an unpopular idea which the regents rejected. But he's credited with strengthening the university at the undergraduate level, among other things. Moe says he was a steady hand that helped guide the university out of a difficult era.
The kind of calm, deliberate style of Nils Hasselmo was what the university needed at that time. Plus, you know, he was highly regarded. And he certainly did bring the university back from those controversies, and I just thought he was a great leader.
In 2015, Hasselmo said the university faces competition from research institutions around the world.
They are investing massively in their research universities, and by the way, they're doing it on something that to me looks suspiciously like the land-grant model, research, teaching, and service. And, you know, they may be outflanking us if we do not continue to make that investment in what really was an American invention, the research university combined with teaching and service.
No funeral arrangements have been made public yet. Peter Cox, NPR News.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the NPR Newsroom.